Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, on demand via the Bloomberg Business app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May has fought off an attempt by conservative rebels to create a customs union with the EU if a trade deal failed. At the same time, the European Commission is reportedly planning to urge EU member states to increase preparations for a no-deal Brexit. For more, we're now joined by Mike Rake, UK chairman for the International Chamber of Commerce. Mike, the situation, I mean, it seems precarious, but then again, it almost always seems precarious since the vote. What do you expect as an outcome at this point?
Well, you know, I think, as you say, the situation is very precarious, is very concerning, is affecting confidence and investment at this stage. And we're very late into the period leading up to our exit from the European Union next March. I think, you know, the business community had seen some hope in the Chequers compromise that a sort of form of customs union would come into place that would protect manufacturing jobs, particularly in the short term, but clearly didn't deal with the service sector that one would have to leave to later. So, I mean, you know, I think our view is very strongly that from an economic point of view, with the preservation of jobs and investment, we do need some form of customs union and or a long transition period to deal with the, you know, the complexity of the European supply chains that have been built up over the last 40 years.
Is this the time to prepare for a no-deal Brexit, for that cliff edge for businesses if they aren't already doing so?
Yeah. Well, I think business, you know, as you know, had the view, and an increasingly strong view, that purely taking economics into consideration, you know, Brexit is not a good idea, and that would much prefer that we do stay, you know, in a customs union, at least, if not in the single market, for a transitional period. And I think, of course, many companies have increasingly not only been making their contingency plans, but as you see, step by step, some are beginning to implement them. You know, people are concerned, obviously, the passporting issue seems to have gone in relation to financial services. We've seen reduction of employment in some of the motor car manufacturers, investments down 50%. People are looking at alternative supply chains, you know, to support the a hard Brexit proposition. Mm-hmm. People still, however, hope, you know, clearly that common sense will prevail and we'll, you know, end up with some sort of sensible beginnings of a trade agreement that can be discussed and expanded.
Are you not concerned that we'll get no deal? That seems to be what, I mean, there's another report that the European Commission is urging member states to increase preparations. Yes. But of course, these reports pop up, you know, all the time.
Correct. Well, look, we're extremely concerned about the prospect of a no deal. I mean, the overwhelming majority of economists, independent commentators inside and outside this country and business believe that a hard Brexit would be extremely damaging, you know, to our economy and would have, you know, very serious impacts. And that's why, you know, all the business organizations, you know, led by the CBI and others here in this country and supported by the ICC and the BCC, the Federation of Small Businesses, are saying we really need to have sit down and agree some kind of cross-party approach to the Brexit issue, you know, based on the need to preserve investment, jobs, and to protect our economy,
Mike,
which has already suffered.
Mike, why do you think someone like Boris Johnson, who is clearly a strange character, but also very intelligent, is so hell-bent on such a hard Brexit?
I find it almost impossible to understand the Boris's position. You know, he's made it clear. I think, you know, bluntly, personally, what's clear that, you know, what appears to be, you know, a minority, but a significant minority of the Conservative Party, believe in a sort of ideology of a sovereignty of take-back control that most business people don't recognize in a globally increasingly integrated world, and therefore believe that, you know, mm-hmm. in some way we get a freedom to create a less regulated environment in which we can trade. But I don't think any of them deny other than, you know, it's going to have short-term costs to do that and maybe medium-term costs. And I think many of us think it appears to be ideology over economics.
If we look at the merits of the government white paper, essentially their vision is to stay close to the EU when it comes to goods, but break away in terms of services. Do you see a potential benefit for services further down the line? That is the argument of the Brexiteers.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, certainly we needed some progress after 2 years of virtually no progress apart from the £40 billion bill that we're going to have to pay to leave anyhow. So I think, you know, I think the Prime Minister pushing hard at Chequers to get a movement on terms of, you know, a customs union equivalent and to be as close as possible on trade was, I think, in most of our views, a step forward, but clearly did not deal with the 80% of our economy, which is services. But I think it's also fair to remember that whilst, you know, much is integrated on the manufacturing side in Europe, you know, the single market in relation to services still has some way to go. So I think most of us would hope and believe that we can engage in sensible mutual arrangements.
But is that an argument in favour of the white paper in the long term?
Well, no, I think it's a question of being realistic about timing. We're 2 years in. We shouldn't be where we are, but we are. I think that at least there was some progress in relation to the, you know, if the manufacturing, the customs union issue, giving us a bit more time to really work through sensibly the service issue, which is, of course, critical. And let's not forget the services and manufacturing, to some extent, are increasingly coming together in a digital world. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand that. But I think we at least felt there was some progress at that point.
Let me ask you about trade. There seems to be, I mean, clearly it's weighed on, the trade war concerns have weighed on markets, but it's not clear whether or not we are in a trade war. You've got some tariffs in effect on Europe from the U.S. and vice versa. You've got some tariffs in effect on Chinese goods from the U.S. and vice versa. But do you expect it to escalate?
I really hope not. I mean, if history tells us anything, if you remember George Bush in his first term of presidency issued steel, you know, tariffs, and they had to be reversed within 6 months because it was leading to escalation in prices and laying off of U.S. workers. Nobody wins in a trade war like this. And I think it is worrying people a little bit because, you know, we did have a sort of IMF agreed Goldilocks economy. Apart from the UK, most other economies were going quite strongly. So this issue of protectionism, nationalism, trade wars, and the sort of rhetoric we've been hearing, of course, is disturbing. But I think the markets, you know, you guys have been commentating to some extent, you know, a bit like Brexit, you kind of hope that common sense will prevail and we'll step back from the brink because the people are going to suffer most from, you know, trade war, obviously the poorest in society.
There are reports on the Bloomberg terminal this morning that the EU President Jean-Claude Juncker will be heading off to Washington next week, hold talks with President Trump regarding a cut when it comes to car tariffs. Would that benefit UK businesses?
Look, again, I mean, I think you've got to stand back and look at the sort of huge amount of trade between the European Union and the United States. You've got to look at the manufacturing that goes on huge by European manufacturers in the United States, as well as mutual exports and imports. You know, and as, you know, part of the issue is, as the head of BMW said a few months ago, I believe, you know, it's important to make cars people want to buy. Mm-hmm.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 1 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Washington, D.C. on Bloomberg 99.1 FM and 105.7 FM HD2, in Boston on 106.1 FM, 1330 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. In San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2 and on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2018 Bloomberg LP.